Just as everybody gets seated this morning, if you would stand again with me and as we read the word. Psalm 55, it says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me. In anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I'd wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are with it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, but then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint, and I moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. My compassion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you."
Amen. Thank you, Scott. You may be seated. That is the reading of God's Word. If you have your Bibles, if you'll go ahead and turn to that Psalm, Psalm chapter 55. And as you're turning there, I want to point out that this month, 17 years ago, Sherry was hired as our children's ministry director, and she's been some form of that, between that and children's ministry and now back to preschool. And so I want to take a second just to recognize and say thank you to Sherry for 17 years of service. You know, we appreciate that. We appreciate that. So Psalm chapter 55, we have been in a series talking about loneliness. And if you remember the first 2 weeks of this series, as we were talking about loneliness, it was the idea that I contribute to my own loneliness. And if you remember the first week, we talked about things like how the psalmist said that he casts the word behind us. And we talked about certain getting off points. If we are all traveling the same direction together, there are certain places that we get off, that we get out of the body of Christ, out of fellowship. And one is the way we treat the word. And we talked about worldliness, and we talked about gossip, and we talked about creating our own version of Jesus. And so if the church is moving in a direction and then we get sidetracked, we contribute to our own loneliness. And then last week we talked about Psalm 51, where David had sinned and just the loneliness of his sin that isolated him. He wasn't walking in God's presence. He wasn't walking in fellowship with other believers because his own sin had contributed to where he was. And so we talked about those 2 weeks, what I do to contribute to my own loneliness. And today what we're going to talk about in Psalm chapter 55, what if I'm lonely for reasons beyond my control? Like, what if I've done nothing wrong? What if my loneliness is for a reason other than myself? You know, what if I've been dealt a bad hand in life? You know, bad things happen to good people, and we live in a broken world. What if I'm lonely? And it has nothing to do with my decisions or the things that I've done. Maybe some external things that have happened to me and has isolated me, creating this sense of loneliness. Well, this morning what we're going to look at is we're going to look at four bad hands that we've been dealt. And we're going to look at the biblical solution to loneliness. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. If you're taking notes, then number one, here's a bad hand that we're dealt. We are dealt a bad hand often from enemies. From enemies. So look with me in verse 1, Psalm 55, verse 1. Look what it says. It says, "Give ear to my plea, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I moan." Listen, he is at a very difficult spot. Look why. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Because of the noise of my enemy." What I've had to come to grips with as a pastor is this fact that some people just don't like me. Okay, like I don't know if you've come to grips with that about yourself and your profession or whatever you do, but there's some people that don't like you just because. Like maybe you've contributed in something, like maybe there's been some sort of fallen out, or maybe there's been a disagreement with who you work with, or maybe people in your own household that has sort of contributed to them becoming your enemy. But listen, maybe it has nothing to do with you at all. Maybe you got the promotion and they didn't, and so they're jealous. Maybe things going well in your household and not in theirs, and so they're jealous. Maybe you haven't done anything wrong, but maybe people just don't like you. They're your enemy. Now look what happens. Look what this enemy does in verse 3. It says that they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge. So there's two things here that enemies do. They drop trouble. They drop trouble on you. They make your life miserable, right? Like they're always in conflict. Anything that you do, they're always in conflict. Anytime you come up with an idea, doesn't matter if it's a great idea, they're against it. I served at a church one time that sort of had two sides, that there was this side that always wanted this and this side that always wanted this. And listen, this side might bring up a really good idea, but this side's going to be opposed to it just because that group brought it up. See, that's what enemies do. They drop trouble on us. They seek to make life miserable. And what else does it say in verse 3? That they bear a grudge. You know, they don't let things go. So if they've perceived, even if you haven't wronged them, if they've perceived that you have wronged them, you know what they're going to do? They're going to make sure that they don't forget it, and they're going to make sure that you don't forget it. And they don't let it go. Listen, and sometimes enemies drop so much trouble on us, listen, that we start to believe that they're right. What if I really am like that? How he sees me, how she sees me, what if I really am like that? What if they're right about me? And so what happens is enemies contribute to our loneliness. Because in our minds we start to question, what if they are right? It's a bad hand that's dealt us, enemies. Okay, and second bad hand that's dealt us is, number two, oppression. So look at verse 3 with me again. It says, "The noise of my enemy," but then it says, "Because of the oppression of the wicked." And so listen, maybe you're oppressed, right? Maybe you are oppressed. And so this tends to be, listen, not a singular enemy that is against you, but this is like whole cultures and whole societies that poor oppression out just for how you are or what you believe. So take racism, for instance. There are certain people who are oppressed just because of the color of their skin, or just because their socioeconomical status, right? Like there are certain people who are oppressed just because they find themselves within this particular group. Or what about this? What about what we're seeing in our society is police being oppressed, right? Defund the police, do away with the system. This idea that all police officers are bad. That is a form of oppression against our peace officers, against our police. What about if you don't participate in what maybe the sins of people at your work? There's a Christmas party and in your work they're all doing this and you won't do it because it's against your beliefs, or maybe at school, maybe if you're a student at school and you don't go along with what's happening in the locker room or what's happening on Friday nights at the party, then all of a sudden you're made fun of, you are oppressed because of the things that you believe and what you stand for. Oppression isolates, oppression backs us into a corner of loneliness. And here's what I mean by that. So if you stand up against racism, the assumption is you're against the police. And if you say, no, I support the police, then the assumption is that you're racist. Those two, we treat them as polar opposites, and for what we believe, we are oppressed. And if you've ever been in that corner where people are oppressing you, it feels like an overwhelming weight. Because you're like, I can't say anything. I can't stand up for my beliefs. I can't say what I believe, because then everybody's going to assume this or think this about me. So much so, listen, that it changes our prayer. Look at verse 9. Look what David's saying. Destroy, O Lord. Divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. See, David has been so hurt, so backed into a corner, he's so lonely, that he's praying for destruction against those who are opposite of him. Which sounds a lot different than what Jesus says in Matthew 5, which is, love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. See, David feels so oppressed that his prayer changes. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, day and night they go around its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it, ruin in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. And so what accompanies oppression many times is fraud. Someone having a wrong view about you. And again, the assumption that this is what they're like, this is what they think, and they might not be right at all. But the oppression that we often feel backs us into a corner, causing us to feel isolated from those we're around, thus contributing to loneliness. Here's another one. Number three, here's a bad hand that we're sometimes dealt. Number three, fear. Fear. Look at verse 4. And I want you to know that fear can be crippling. But look at verse 4. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. Have you ever been in that place of fear? Fear is crippling. Okay? Fear keeps you up at night. So whenever I was about 15, me and my cousins, we went camping, and we lived in southwest Oklahoma, where it seemed like every summer was a drought. Okay? And so we're camping down at the pond, which by now was probably about as big as this stage. And so we're not doing any fishing, we're just camping. And so it gets dark, we've got our fire, we've made dinner, we've done all that. And so we walk over this water, and we're looking in the water, and all of a sudden these heads start popping up out of the water, and guess what? There's snakes everywhere. And so like we're gonna let's back away from the water and let's go back to the campsite. And when we're on our way, It's like Indiana Jones, okay? Because there's snakes everywhere, and we're stepping on them. I never knew my cousin could jump so high. If he jumped that high on the basketball court, he'd be dunking the basketball, okay? Trying to jump away from these things. They are everywhere. So much so that we jump on our four-wheelers and we drive home. We leave the tent. We leave everything there. We're getting out of there. And so I go home, listen, and I toss and turn. And when sleep finally happens, guess what? I'm dreaming about snakes, okay? And I'm convinced that they're in bed with me. I'm waking up. I probably had three or four dreams that night about snakes just being everywhere. See, fear can cripple you. And listen, maybe it's not snakes, and maybe it's not scorpions, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's people that strike fear in you. And so what do? You avoid them at all costs. You might creep on their Facebook a little bit, but you're not going anywhere near them because of what they might do, what they might say, how they might make you feel. Maybe the fear is more centered around politics, okay? The fear is if so-and-so's elected this year, or if so-and-so's re-elected this year, there's this fear about what that means for our country, depending on what side you're on. See, fear can be crippling. Maybe it's COVID-19, where we don't even feel comfortable leaving our house or going to the grocery store. And we isolate ourselves out of fear of contracting a virus. See, fear will isolate us. Before long, we're lonely. And look what David prays in verse 6. He said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away, be at rest, fly away, isolate myself, leave the situation, get away from everyone." That's what he's saying. That's what he's praying here. "Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness." That doesn't sound like a great vacation spot. "I'd hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempt us." See, depending on the hand that we're dealt in life, all the heartache, all the pain that's associated with life, if we're not careful, our solution is, let me just back away. Let me just withdraw. Let me just isolate. And before long, we're lonely. There's a fourth one here, which I would say is the most painful. And it's betrayal. The fourth hand we're dealt is betrayal by someone we were close to. So look at verse 12 with me. "Were it's not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it." You know, I've always thought, you know, people can say things about me, and it doesn't bother me. Like the closer I am to the person, then it starts to bother me, right? People can throw stones at us that they don't even know us, and it's not that big of a deal. And that's what David's saying here. It's not an enemy that taunts me. It's not an adversary who deals insolent with me. Then I could hide from him. Look, verse 13. "But it's you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house as we walked in the throng." I'm just telling you that those who we're closest to have the ability to hurt us the most and contribute to our isolation. And so maybe it's a husband who leaves for another woman. Maybe it's a wife who gossips about her husband's weakness. Maybe it's a son who walks away from the faith. Or a daughter who's engaged in destructive decisions. A father who works and works and works, listen, to avoid time with the family. A mother who is condemning and critical of everything. Maybe it's a best friend who you've walked walked life together, only for them to turn their back on you when you needed them the most, or say something hurtful behind your back. I'm telling you, betrayal. It keeps us from trusting other people down the road, and only the lonely know what I'm talking about. It pushes us in a corner. You want to know the hardest thing about pastoring? I'll speak for our staff. The hardest thing about pastoring is loving those who will betray. Maybe the hardest thing about attending church is a pastor who will let you down. Maybe it's sharing something in the small group setting, some struggle, some sin, only for your classmates who you bore your soul to then go out and gossip about you to other people. See, these are bad hands that were dealt that put us in a lonely spot. Look at verse 15. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive. For evil, that's the grave. Sheol is the grave. Let them go down to the grave alive. For evil is their dwelling place and in their hearts. You know what David's saying about his friend, basically? You're dead to me. Let me just cut you out. Now that might be healthier for David, but I would say that it's also lonelier. So what happens? What do you do if you've been dealt one of these bad hands? What do you do if you're lonely because of enemies? Or you're lonely because of oppression? What do you do? What do you do if you're lonely because of your fear? What do you do if you're lonely because you've been betrayed by someone you've been super close to? Well, the scripture offers two solutions, just very quickly. Two solutions if you're lonely and it has nothing to do with things that you've done. Two solutions. Number one, we cast our burden on the Lord. We cast it on the Lord. Look with me in verse 20. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. Remember, we're not just in covenant with God. We're in covenant with each other. It says that he's violated that covenant. Verse 21, his speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. That's his problem. The pain is his problem. The loneliness is his problem. So look at the solution in verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, one of the things I love is fishing. Okay? And there's something satisfying and soothing when you hold a good reel. Okay, not the ones that are always jacking up and grinding when you're trying, but just a good smooth reel when you bring that back and cast it, and it just goes. There's something beautiful to a fisherman about a perfectly cast line. That's the imagery here. that the loneliness, listen, that I haven't contributed to, but the loneliness that I feel because of others, David says to cast that burden out onto the Lord, and He will sustain us. Now the question is how does that happen? Like that sounds good in theory, right? I don't know if you've ever tried that and you're like, okay, I'm going to the Lord, but and Lord, here's my problems, here's my loneliness, here's all these things, but it feels like it's done nothing for you. Have you ever been like that? That you feel like you're like, well, how do I do that? How do I cast that my burden onto the Lord where it's on Him? And He sustains me, and I'm not feeling the weight of that. How do I do that? Well, let me show you how you cast your burden on the Lord through this text. The first way that we do this is we do this through prayer. Okay, look at verse 16. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Listen, He's not just talking about a salvation experience where He goes to heaven someday. He's talking about the situation and the isolation and the pain that he feels, that God will save him from that. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon, that seems like all times of the day, I utter my complaint and moan and He hears my voice. We cast our burdens on the Lord through prayer. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm going through difficulty, you know what I'll sometimes do? Talk to whoever will listen, right? If I'm going through a tough time, whoever listens to me and gives me a little bit of attention, I'll tell them about all my problems. But listen, if I'm talking more to people about my problems than I'm talking to the Lord about my problems, then my life's out of balance. And I'm going to hear all sorts of things from people. Well, do what makes you feel good, right? If it makes you happy, do it. And that can sometimes be bad counsel if they're encouraging me to contribute towards some sinful behavior. See, we don't need counsel from people. We always need counsel from the Lord. Morning, evening, midday, he's talking about his problems to the Lord. Listen, if we're not praying about our problems consistently and we're talking to others more than the Lord, we're not going to cast it. We're going to continue to carry that weight and feel the weight of that loneliness. Here's another way we cast our burdens on the Lord. We cast our burdens on the Lord when we spend time in His Word. So look at verse 18. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. For many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them. He who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. You know what he's doing here? He is reminding himself of the promises that are already in God's Word. What does he say? He redeems my soul in safety. Where do we find that? We find that in His Word. God will give ear. He'll listen. Where are we reminded that God listens? We are reminded in His Word. He'll humble them. Where are we reminded of that? In His Word. He is the God, verse 19, who is enthroned from of old. Where are we reminded that He is the Ancient of Days? And that He's been since before creation, that He's always existed. Where are we reminded of that? In His Word. It's amazing the number of times my soul has been overwhelmed. Where if I would just get in His Word that morning, that He would either do something to uplift me in that moment, or He would give me something that wasn't even relevant at the time. But maybe I ran into some opposition or some enemies or some fear or some betrayal later that day that I was reminded of what I'd read just that morning that prepared me for that. We cast our burdens on the Lord when we pray to Him, when we spend time in His Word. And there's another way that we cast our burdens on the Lord that we see in this text. We cast our burdens on the Lord, listen, through the church, through each other. When we're linked together, look at verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Now listen. It is easy for us to be moved when we're in isolation, when we're by ourselves, when all we have is our thoughts and our sorrow and our fears and what the enemy's saying and what the oppressors are saying and what they're saying. It's easy to be moved then. But listen, what Scripture paints a picture of is you and I, not in isolation, but linked together. As part of the church, we are linked together. We are part of the foundation, with Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone who cannot be moved. And so it's not me by myself doing these things that keeps me from being moved. It is me being connected to you, and you being connected to you, and you being connected to you, that, and us being connected to Christ, that doesn't allow us to be moved. I was talking to a guy I met yesterday, and I was talking about Jesus and what He's done for me and what He could do for him. And he's like, "Well, I'm a Christian." And I asked him where he went to church. "Well, I don't." And in theory, listen, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, and going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But can I just tell you that the New Testament knows nothing of a believer that's not connected to a church. We are grafted together, and we cast our burdens on the Lord by being connected to each other. That's why Hebrews tells us not to give up meeting together, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. Encouragement is tied to us being together. That's why Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says to bear each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. See, one of the ways that we cast our burdens is that we stay connected to each other, and He does not allow us to be moved. I've got a picture here that I want you to see, that I think really captures what it means for us to be connected together and why it's so hard for us to be moved when we're connected together. What foot soldier is going to go up against that and move that? See, that's a picture of the church, that we are linked together. And listen, whenever you're lonely because of enemies or oppression or fear or betrayal, you know what the solution is? It is one, it's to cast our burdens on the Lord through prayer and through His Word, but it's also to link together. Listen, when you're feeling that way, the idea is not to stay at home or stay isolated or to disappear. It's to get in the middle of that. It's for me and for Drew and for Gareth and for Gary and for Micah and for Sherry and for Judy to all stand on the front bearing our shield and our sword. And you just stand back until your heart is encouraged. It doesn't happen in isolation. It happens when we bear each other's burdens. And God does not allow that to be moved. There's one organization that's going to be standing at the end of time. And it's not going to be the Democrats or the Republicans. And it's not going to be the United States of America. There's one organization that outlasts it all. And that is the church. Cast your burden on the Lord. Listen, He can handle it. No matter how hard your day is, He can handle it. So one of the solutions that, the biblical solution that God offers, that He offers for loneliness that we don't even contribute to, that loneliness caused by external factors, is that we cast our burdens on Him. But the second solution, just very quickly, the second solution is that we trust Him. Look at verse 23. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. See, David is reminded in this verse. He's reminded of this in this verse that there's a day coming when it won't be like this. There's a day coming where the enemy and the oppressors and the fear and the betrayal will be destroyed. There's a day coming. He says that they won't live half their days. There's a day coming, and listen, the time in between is short. It feels like a long time if you're in loneliness. But the promise is that this is short. The promise is that my King will soon be coming down. And He's going to take us to a place with a room in His house where there'll be no more tears and there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain, no more sin. Only Him. Only Him. We can trust Him. You can trust Him today. So listen, if you've not given your life to Him, it's time to stop playing the game. Salvation is today. Salvation is today if He's calling. It's time to stop playing the game. Trust Him today. And come into the benefits. Listen, not just of heaven someday, but the benefits of being a son or daughter. Listen, today. Trust Him. Maybe you're a believer here today and you're walking in this isolation. It has nothing to do with what you've done, but external factors that have contributed towards you. Listen, would you get with some believers and link arms and just pray over each other? Let them pray over you. Listen, I know it's weird. I know it's weird because we're in a weird time where we're not supposed to be near each other and all these things. So listen, maybe it's not during the invitation that we're about to have. Maybe it is. Maybe you want to get with just a couple people that you're close to and pray over. Maybe you want to pray as a family. Maybe you want one of the pastors to pray over you or the ministry leaders. Maybe that's appropriate. Or maybe it's after the invitation where everybody sort of clears out and you just stay with a few friends. And you can stay apart. And just say, pray over me because this is the weight I'm feeling. See, you get something here. Listen, you get something here that we don't get online. And that's other believers and sisters being together. If you're watching this online, we love that you're able to. And we know that for you, maybe you've been sick this week, or maybe it's the fear of the virus. Listen, we get that. But we want you to come back as quick as you can whenever it's safe for you. Because you get something here that you don't hear. And that's each other. Trust Him. Trust Him today. Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your word. And God, if we've lived long enough, we have felt the crushing weight of enemies, of oppression, of fear, of betrayal. And God, honestly, it's affected our ability, some of us, it's probably affected our ability to love each other, to trust again. And it's like even as believers, we're living with a wall of isolation up because we don't want to be hurt again. We don't want to be crushed again. God, I pray that those walls will fall, and that we'll know the joy of linking together. God, thank You. Thank You that we can cast our burdens on You. and that we can trust you. I pray that we'll lay those burdens down today and trust you. In Jesus' name.